listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. What is happening on planet Earth right now is unprecedented in all of human history. There's never been a time, objective, historically, and rationally, where we have seen so much turmoil, chaos, upheaval within the span of just one generation. Now, to compound to that problem is the sobering reality that it is blatantly evident, I think, to anybody who's even a casual reader of the scripture, Genesis to Revelation, or a casual reader of Bible prophecy. It is obvious to you and to me and to others that read the entire book of the Bible that we are in a time period where more Bible prophecies have come true than any other time period in human history. So what does that mean? Well, what it means is, no matter whether or not you're deaf, dumb, and blind, or whatever category you're in, you can't fail to miss the fact that you have been born by the sovereignty of God into a totally unique generation, a totally unique life. Your grandparents and your great-great-parents, no matter what they went through, they're not going anywhere near what you're going through. And then continuing on until the present moment and then going forward, we are moving with lightning speed on a continuation of this massive unfolding of prophetic events that, again, is unprecedented. So the question that I want to ask is, given those realities, given those facts, and I would suggest to you that they are facts, they are realities, but we have to deal with it. We have to wrap our heads around it and process it. None of us, no matter what we believe or don't believe, none of us can afford the luxury of, snoozing out somewhere or taking a nap somewhere. We can't afford that luxury because the stakes, even if you didn't believe in God, or prophecy, or the Bible. The stakes right now are so intense and so great that if you claim to have any love for your children and your grandchildren and your wife and your husband and so on and so forth, your neighbor, your society, your nation, if you claim to have love for any of these people or groups, if you make such a claim, and I think all of us idealistically would make such a claim, we would claim, I think every single one of us, however imperfect we are, we would claim that we are endeavoring to do our best to fulfill God's law of loving thy neighbor as thyself. So here we are, in a place that most of us never thought we would really be in. And I've talked to a lot of people, especially scholars and researchers and authors in a diverse field of Bible prophecy teaching. And not one of them, including myself, could have predicted what's happening now. It's a complete surprise. So let's just bullet point a couple of these complete surprises. Well, to whatever degree, most of us, and it depends where you are on the sliding scale, most of us have been impacted by social distancing one way or another, either by working at home or the job shutting down or finding work from home, et cetera, et cetera. That's never happened before. You know, the level of that kind of thing, the only time you see that level of event happening is when you go back to ancient Egypt in the time of the Pharaoh and in the time of Moses. And in that time period, there was something equivalent to what we're experiencing now. And what that was that God, the biblical God, allowed the angel of death to pass through the city in Egypt. And God allowed the angel of death to strike down or kill the firstborn in every Egyptian household. That was pretty cataclysmic and significant. Now, the only way you could get protection from that curse, and that's what it was, the only way you could secure God's protection against that curse is if you obeyed the Lord. And that's going to be critical in every moment of your life. And the older you get, if you're either dying spiritually, I'm not talking about physically, the older you get, you're either dying spiritually, which means you are moving through life with an ever increasing diminishing of your capacity to hear the voice of the Lord. And that should not be happening, by the way. Or conversely, as you move through life, you are experiencing an ever-increasing ability and an ever-increasing sensitivity to hear the voice of the Lord and to obey the voice of the Lord. And of course, that's where God wants all of us. He wants us to be his children, his people, but he wants to see in us this prime characteristic of being in a relationship with him where we are experiencing an ever-increasing sensitivity to the voice of the Lord. That's the only way out. That's the only way to victory. That's the only way to supernatural deliverance. So when you look at God's people in ancient Egypt, the ones that survived, they survived because they obeyed God's supernatural command. And I want to emphasize that again. God's people who survived in ancient Egypt, the ones that survived had one thing in common. They all obeyed God's supernatural command, God's supernatural instructions. And in this particular case, and it was supernatural because what God was requiring of them was something completely different and unusual. So it takes a bold step of faith to obey the Lord. So God told his people in Israel, as they were serving as slaves for Pharaoh and his family, toiling in the hot sun and building the bricks by which they made the giant pyramids. And God's command to his people was simply this. He told his people that God's judgment was upon the Egyptian empire, which, by the way, was a satanic empire because who they worshipped was false gods. They worshipped men and women as gods, like the Pharaoh was worshipped as God. And then the Pharaoh had all these high-level priests, and they were worshipped also. So what happened was, is God said to them, he said to his people, if you apply the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of your house, then when the angel of death passes over your household, which I am going to send, it's the Lord who's sending the angel of death. So the Lord is telling his people that I am going to send the angel of death into the city, into Egypt, and my angel of death is going to visit every single household. If you were faithful to obey my command, and if you chose to paint or spread the blood of the sacrificial lamb on the doorposts of your house, then the angel of death will pass over your household. Why? Because the angel of death will see in plain sight a symbol of the payment of your sins. And that symbol is the blood of an animal sacrificial lamb. And when the angel of death sees the symbol of an animal sacrificial lamb, that angel of death will pass over your household, and your firstborn and your children will all be spared being killed by the angel of death. Again, because the angel of death, when it sees the blood on the doorpost of your house, is going to pass over your house, and he will strike dead all the households where there is no blood on the doorposts. He will pass by all the Jewish households that when he sees the blood of the lamb being put on the doorposts of the house. So when the angel of death sees the blood of the lamb, which is symbolic of the future blood of the lamb, Jesus Christ, because when Jesus Christ died and spilt his blood so that you and I could be delivered from the effect of sin eternally, so that we could be born again, and so that death would pass over our individual lives, as in being born again, and death would pass by our households, because when the angel of death passes by our households, it will see the blood of the lamb, and that will signify that that household, that father, etc., has placed his faith. They have placed their faith in the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ and Passover. Now, what does Passover mean? Well, it's simple. You know what it means. It means that God, in his sovereignty, when his angel of death sees the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts of a house, it's going to pass over the doorway of that house. That house will be spared death. It will be specifically spared death on the firstborn. And then the angel of death will pass over the households where they've painted the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. And then it will strike. The angel of death will strike and kill the firstborn of all the households that failed to post the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. So we are in a similar environment. Don't say, oh, that's far-fetched. No, it's not far-fetched at all. Right now, there is an angel of death that is moving across America and many other nations in the world. We don't need to, for at this particular second, at this moment, we don't need to get into the true cause of that release of the angel of death. But the point is, with things like the vaccination and the vaccination's ability to target specific demographic groups, the world system, and remember who the world system is, the world system is the Pharaoh God King system, because the people of the land worshiped the Pharaoh as God. Okay, so when the angel of death enters Egypt, and the angel of death went throughout all the city, you could hear the screams and stuff as the firstborn of every Egyptian household, the first male child that was born, will be killed by the angel of death. His life will not be spared. The world is looking to an answer provided by the world system, which is a temporary Luciferian world system. The world is looking to the world system to provide their Passover lamb and the Passover blood. With all their scientists, with all their New World Order stuff, and all the rest of that stuff, they are operating in the spirit of Babylon. They're operating in the spirit of Lucifer, and they're offering to people a counterfeit of the blood of the lamb, which will cause your firstborn male to be spared as the blood of the lamb passes over your household. But the problem is that the world, their solution is a vaccination. And you have to ask yourself the question, this is about survival. And I can't answer that for you. You've got to answer it for yourself. Will the blood of the lamb offered by the world system, will it save you temporarily, and will it save you eternally? Will their technology in the form of a vaccination and graphene oxide and other technologies, will that be an effective blood of the lamb that will spare you and your children and your firstborn? Because that's what most of your friends, including your Christian friends, are looking to. They're not looking to God. They don't read their Bibles. And so, the only way you can experience God's salvation and God's deliverance is you have to put your faith in the deliverer, Jesus Christ. You have to put your faith in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. And you have to look to Jesus to surround your home with his angels, so that the death angel will pass over your household. Now, let me stop right there and make some qualifying statements. I am by no shape or means telling you what to do as if I was a doctor. You need to consult a doctor that respects and shares your beliefs as a Christian in order to get your advice. And then you need to evaluate based on the facts that are available who is lying to you and who is telling the truth. Then you make your decision based on which facts are true, who's lying to you, and who's telling the truth. And the world system is built on lies. We have to remember that. We're being lied to on a level we've never been lied to before. So, as we move further and further into the last days, we're going to constantly having to be committing our way to the Lord, praying to the Lord, and crying out to God for his wisdom, asking God to direct us to the right facts and knowledge, etc. That's how you and I are going to survive. Now, number two is I'm not telling you to do anything of a specific nature when it comes to the vaccine and other things, because I'm not a doctor. I don't know your unique health situation. I don't know your unique immune system. I don't know your DNA system, et cetera, et cetera. But I do know this, that in the middle of it all, you need to cry out to God. You need to seek God's face. If you are coming into the place in your life where you are putting more faith in the doctors and more faith in the so-called experts, you're out of alignment spiritually. I'm not saying you shouldn't do what the doctors tell you to do. That's what kind of doctor you have. But I am saying you need to seek the Lord first and do what the Lord tells you to do first. and again, this is not a medical statement, but, you know, making sure that you're taking an arsenal for you, a safe assortment of the most powerful immune system boosters you can get your hands on is a starting place, and then continuing to get knowledge and wisdom. And then most of all, don't forget to pray. And don't say to me, well, my friend prayed and he died or whatever. Sorry, your friend died. Don't get me wrong. But that does not give you an excuse not to pray. As a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and any minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, anybody who's been in ministry, I pray for people all the time. They come up to me all the time. They have intense diseases. They've been told by the doctors they have a short period to live and all this stuff. That's a very weighty thing to do. But you see, I go into that knowing that I don't heal anybody. So it's not up to me. It's up to God to heal them. Number two is God will only heal them if they ask God to heal them and there are people praying for them. So that's critical, that you pray for yourself, you pray for your loved ones, and you ask God to heal you. If you don't ask God to heal you, then don't blame him if you die prematurely. And let's be honest, and let's be willing to grow by thinking about this. Most of us have been guilty of this, including myself. Whereas if I have a migraine headache or something, my first inclination is to hit the bottle of Advil or whatever. That's my first reaction. That's not the right reaction. My first reaction should be to pray. And yours should be too. That doesn't mean you don't take the aspirin or certain medications that are known to be to work. Okay, now, I have been intensely working with my wife, Chris, in getting the book out, Power from One Eye. We are working 18 hours a day. And the reason it is so difficult is because everything keeps changing, like every 6 months. So I have done a tremendous amount of rewriting, and we're working night and day to get it ready. Well, we're doing the final edit. Then it goes to the printer. And then all of you that have pre-ordered the book, your copy is waiting for you in an envelope with your name printed on it. So the minute it comes back from the printer, because you've pre-ordered your copy, you not only got a discount, you will get your book ahead of the other people who did not pre-order. By the way, there's still time to pre-order the book, Power from On High. Now, when I write a book, I throw everything into it. I pray out to God, I seek his face. He directs me to research things in history and all kinds of stuff. And I throw everything into it because you see what's in my heart when I write a book. It's not, oh, how many copies will it sell? Some of you think I'm lying when I say that. Put a lie detector test on me. It's not, my burden is not how many books it's going to sell, nor is it how much money am I going to make. My overwhelming burden is that I obeyed the Lord, that I wrote down the message the Lord gave me in the manner that he told me to write it in, and that I hit the bullseye with the spiritual weapon of God's word inside of a book. And as I go through this process, and this has been the hardest book I've ever written in my life, I must tell you that after this book, this has never happened to me before, ever, not even close, because I love writing books. But after this book, I have seriously contemplated saying, no more books. Because this one, I mean, this was beyond my ability to bear it. simply because I was faced with the challenge of having to rewrite, so I could deliver to you a book that contains stuff that gives you answers, truth, life, and most of all, empowers you and fortifies you in the power of Jesus Christ so that you can complete your mission that God gave you before the foundation of the world. With everything in me, it is my burden. And some of you know what I mean by the word burden. Some of you don't. All of you who minister, either full-time or part-time or whatever, you know what it's like, parents know what it's like, when you have a burden for your child or a burden to reach people in ministry. What that is that it's not an emotional weight, although you'll experience it emotionally. It's a weight and a heaviness on your heart because, in effect, you're carrying the spiritual burden regarding their eternal destiny, regarding what choices they're going to make in life. And oftentimes, or most of the time, you know you're in a spiritual battle, and therefore you must engage in spiritual warfare using the weapons of spiritual warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so it's a process of writing, seeking the face of the Lord, and an agony of intercessory prayer. The Bible calls it travailing in the spirit. Now, some of you know what that means, some of you don't. Travailing is in the spirit is when the burden of the Lord comes upon you with such intensity that your inner man is commanded by God to cry out to God in prayer and won't stop until it realizes the spiritual victory and the devil has been bound and decapitated. And it may be like last night. I woke up for 6 hours in the middle of the night because I was doing particular topics that are very highly charged. And, my goal is to obey the Lord. But I was up for 6 hours in travail, in prayer. It's not always that way. But deep spiritual warfare requires deep spiritual engagement. Okay, so what the Lord has revealed to me is that America is on a parallel track. It's doing kind of like, for lack of better words, America right now is like in a rerun stage of what happened to America with the Pilgrims, with the Puritans, with Jonathan Edwards, the father of the First Great Awakening, and all the other great men of God of that time. And then there were those that snuck in among the great men of God of the First Great Awakening and the Pilgrims and Puritans. And these men were the men that were secretly occultists, Rosicrucians, Illuminati, secret societies, and Freemasons. And they had a very profound underground influence and infiltration into America from the very earliest of days. And what they did is they rented their own ships, mixed their ships that were paid for by the Queen of England, and through these massive sailing ships, the same ones that the Pilgrims and Puritans rented, these massive sailing ships, the Illuminati, the Rosicrucians, Sir Francis Bacon, Sir John Dee, the occultists, the Rosicrucians, they snuck in among the Pilgrims and Puritans, and they secretly built their colonies and churches in the midst of the Pilgrims and Puritans. But remember, at the core theology, at the very heart of the theology of Sir Francis Bacon, Sir John Dee, this is why knowledge is power. Sir John Dee and Sir Francis Bacon were both the highest level spiritual, political, and military advisors of the Queen of England. Sir John Dee and Sir Francis Bacon were taught by Sir John Dee. Both of these men were highly educated. Sir Francis Bacon was the inventor of the scientific method. He was the personal advisor along with Dee in advising the Queen Elizabeth and the entire British Empire. And both Sir John Dee and Sir Francis Bacon were geniuses, intellectuals, scientists, but they were also secretly hardcore occultists. And so they learned to be fluent in the language of the fallen angels. Those are demonic angels. Dee and Bacon became fluent in what is called the Enochian language, named after the Enochian fallen angels in the Book of Enoch. Now, this is critical to understand. When you do research of all the great empires in human history, there's two ways to look at it. If you allow yourself to be dumbed down, as people are in the school system and media and stuff, you won't have a clue as to what's going on. But if you decide in your heart and you refuse to be dumbed down and you pursue the truth with everything in you, God will grant you your heart's desire, and he will bestow enormous supernatural truth on you. And the globalist elite that are deeply involved in the occult, they're Luciferians. They serve Lucifer. They're into high-tech sorcery and witchcraft and all kinds of things. Now, they don't want the masses, the ordinary school kids, the college, university. I don't care. You know, you could be in Yale and Harvard or wherever you want to go. You're going to be just as dumbed down as somebody who goes to a regular school, because the elite in our society, they're educating people about things that the average Christian has never heard about in their entire life. Therefore, the average Christian is dumbed down and is disadvantaged in the spiritual warfare of life. Let me give you a case in point. All these great empires, these impressive kings and queens and pharaohs, etc., they shared things in common. They all embraced an occult theology that they passed around through occult secret societies. And they hid the secret knowledge of Luciferian occult power, satanic occult power. They buried, censored, and hid all that supernatural knowledge and wisdom. They hid it from the common man, the common family, the common politician. Now, if you were an insider, you know, like the very powerful super billionaires and the very powerful kings and queens and heads of intelligence agencies, et cetera, et cetera, if you were among the globalist elite, then you are or were an insider, and you were taught and you were educated in areas that the average student has no clue or that are even remotely operational. I'm talking about understanding that the ancient kings and queens and pharaohs and et cetera, that they all understood that science, technology, magic, sorcery, clairvoyance, et cetera, were all on the same knowledge continuum as people studying other subjects. You see, the elite, because they're in the occult, they don't want you to know how to avail yourselves of the supernatural and secret powers of the occult. And That's because they don't want you to know the real nature of the spiritual battle raging all around you. And they want to block you or prevent you from knowing how to be victorious in the great spiritual battle all around you. And they don't want you to know how to defeat them, because they know that they're Luciferians and Satanists and into high-level witchcraft, etc. That's their secret power that they're concealing from you. Now, if God's people were acting, thinking, behaving, and believing in the manner that God has instructed them to behave in, this wouldn't be a problem. Because what should be happening, if God's people were truly obeying him, is that God's people would be obeying God by not trying to fight the evil one using the evil one's weapons. We're supposed to be using the high-level spiritual weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, these ancient super civilizations, ask yourself how these series of megalithic super civilizations, like all these, the super civilization in Babylon that built the Tower of Babel, the megalithic super civilization that built the ancient Egyptian Empire, the megalithic ancient super civilization that built Atlantis. Plato believed there was an Atlantis. Many, many of the elite in our world believe that there was an Atlantis. The Nazis believed in Atlantis. So the elite don't want you to know these things, because they're afraid if you know these things, you will be able to defeat them. Here's another case in point. Then how did the Nazi rocket scientists, the Nazi mind control scientists, and the Nazi genetic scientists get their hands on so much futuristic and highly advanced science fiction type technology and science? How did that come about? Well, the Nazis, they had plenty of scientists who were brilliant, but the Nazis also conducted research and investigated scientific discoveries and technological discoveries in the areas that many people considered to be of the occult. That's why Hitler sent his submarines deep under the ice under Antarctica, where the Vril force was, this alleged secret energy force. That's why the Nazi rocket scientists had their hands on detailed blueprints on how to build UFO flying machines and anti-gravity machines and reverse engineering, because the Nazi scientists were talking to the Vril Ya maidens in a cafe in Vienna in 1927. What that means is the Nazis were borrowing secret occult scientific knowledge and utilizing it. But they don't want the masses to know this. Now, on the other side, Aldous Huxley of the British Empire wrote in his book, Brave New World, he talked about all the secrets of the scientific dictatorship and how in a truly scientific dictatorship, they would use mind control, sorcery, brainwashing, and other techniques to subjugate the masses through scientific mind control, just like the Nazis did with their MKUltra program. So when the Allies invaded Nazi Germany, when Britain invaded Nazi Germany, they rounded up most of the Nazi technology people, the Nazi rocket scientists, the Nazi brainwashing scientists, the Nazi genetic scientists. They rounded most of them, not all of them, up, and they were smuggled to different places. 15,000 Nazi rocket scientists, Nazi genetic scientists and Nazi mind control scientists were smuggled into America secretly during Operation Paperclip. So the elite in America, the elite in Britain and other places of the world, they did not want the masses, they did not want the other nations to get their hands on these highly advanced occultic, paranormal, psychic technology sciences that were like, they were like something out of the future. And they didn't want other nations and the masses to get their hands on this futuristic technology. So they concealed it and hid it. So they had what was called the Nuremberg trials. These were the famous Nazi war criminal trials, where they brought to trial all the scientists, the officers that tortured people in the concentration camps, that experimented with great brutality on people who stayed in the concentration camps, who conducted Frankenstein-like experiments on innocent people in the concentration camps, who put them through MKUltra mind control programming and all kinds of stuff. The Nazis were guilty of all this. The Nazis were guilty of shattering and breaking people's personality, erasing their memories, and programming them to do all kinds of horrific things. Now, the Nuremberg trials were supposed to bring all these war criminals to justice, but guess what? Thousands of these Nazi rocket scientists and technology people and Nazi genetic scientists and Nazi MKUltra scientists and Nazi rocket scientists, thousands of them were smuggled secretly. They had their names changed, and they were given top positions of think tanks, laboratories, and university laboratories all across the world and the United States, 15,000 of them, where they went to work for the U.S. government. Because at the same time, Russia was trying to gobble up as many of the Nazi scientists that they could. And the winner was going to end up with deadly futuristic scientific technology that could dominate the planet and dominate the world. All right, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We're going through a quick overview of how scientists, technology people, the globalist elite, and other super powerful entities get their hands on advanced scientific, technological, futuristic weaponry. Weaponry that theoretically shouldn't be available for another 50 or 60 years, but it was available 50 years ago. Now, we have to understand that when you study all this stuff, it brings you right up to the present moment. Because the one thing that the children of the wicked and evil understand, that God's children don't understand, is that the children of this world, of this present world, are often wiser and sharper in their generation than the children of God. And it's not supposed to be that way. So, God had a plan for America. Every church should be preaching that from the rooftops. God has a plan for America. That plan didn't end. So right now, even as I'm talking to you, Paul McGuire, I need to communicate to you the fact that God has a massive plan for America in the last days, and God has a massive plan for you in the last days. So, how does that work? It works like this. When the Pilgrims and the Puritans came to America, there was that segment that were Bible-believing, on fire, Pilgrims and Puritans. But then there was the other satanic segment consisting of people like Sir Francis Bacon, who was a Luciferian, a Rosicrucian, Illuminati, a Satanist, and Sir John Dee. Both Sir Francis Bacon and Sir John Dee communicated with fallen angels and demonic entities. They actually learned the language of the fallen angels. It was known as the Enochian angelic language. And these fallen angels, these were very powerful fallen angels, but Bacon and Dee could communicate with them fluently. And these fallen angels were supernaturally guiding Sir Francis Bacon and Sir Francis Dee. These fallen angels were telling them to keep advising the Queen of England, who listened to everything Dee and Bacon said. And these fallen angels kept delivering a message from Satan to the Queen of England. That message was that the satanic powers, that the fallen angels, wanted very much for Sir Francis Bacon and Sir John Dee to instruct the British Empire and Queen Elizabeth on how to infiltrate, invade, and conquer America. So here we have another example, and I can give you thousands of examples in real historical history, thousands of examples of when angels organized, communicated in the language of a particular people group, like what happened on Mount Hermon with the 200 fallen angels that descended, and how the fallen angels intersected into the plans economically and militarily of nations and empires. So, these fallen angels were heavy duty instructing the Queen of England and the heads of the British Empire that they needed to mobilize all their resources, which they did, and to begin to infiltrate and penetrate and conquer North America. Why? They even told them. They said to them, the fallen angels said to them, because North America is going to become, in the future, the head of the New World Order. And North America in the future is going to be the New Atlantis, the New World. So these satanic powers were able to grab a clear video or clear photographs of the future destiny of America, and then they use their supernatural energy and power to bring it about. So, Sir Francis Bacon and Sir John Dee were instrumental in that. When you look in the back of the dollar, you see proof, illustrative proof of what I'm telling you, and I talk all about this in my book, Power from On High. On the back of the U.S. dollar, on the right-hand side, you're going to look at a picture. You need to do this. You need to get out a dollar bill later and look at what I'm telling you to look at. On the right-hand side of the back of the U.S. dollar, you see a picture of a bird that looks like an eagle, symbolizing America. It is not an eagle. The bird you're looking at on the right-hand side of the dollar bill is a phoenix bird. The phoenix is a mythological, legendary bird with great occult significance. And the phoenix bird is also a symbol of the New World Order. And as a symbol of the New World Order, the phoenix bird burns up. It burns itself alive. It catches fire. The phoenix bird catches fire, burns itself alive, and dies. And then after a period of time, the phoenix bird receives occult energy, and the phoenix bird brings itself back to life, like a counterfeit resurrection. And then the phoenix bird rises from the dead. It rises from the ashes. And just like the first world order is going to be burned up in the ashes, that's represented by the phoenix bird. The phoenix bird is burned up in the ashes. And then the phoenix bird, representing the New World Order and the New Atlantis specifically, it will rise from the ashes to fulfill its destiny in the new aeon, A-E-O-N. That's what Aleister Crowley called the new era. And so Bacon saw that America was to be the New Atlantis. Many people in ancient societies believed that the original America was the original Atlantis. And then Bacon and the other occultists also believed that America was to be the head of the New World Order. So on the left-hand side of the back of the U.S. dollar bill, you see a picture of a pyramid with the all-seeing eye of Horus or Lucifer. And then on the base of the pyramid, you see the words Nuevos Order Seclorum, which means New World Order. Then on the right-hand side of the U.S. dollar, you see a picture of the phoenix, which is being burnt up into the ashes. But as the occult emissaries have said, that the old Atlantis or the old order will be burnt up in the ashes, and then it will rise again like the phoenix from the dead, thus establishing the new world order at the end of the age, thus establishing the new Atlantis at the end of the age. All of these occultists and thinkers and disciples of the Illuminati and the Rosicrucians, they all believed fervently in the existence of Atlantis. So they believe that America has a secret occult destiny to be head of the new Atlantis and to be head of the new world order. And they are doing everything they can behind the scenes to make this thing happen. So when you hear the World Economic Forum talk about their dark and dirty plans, Klaus Schwab, etc., he's talking about creating a new world order or the global reset. How he intends to do that is through occult powers. He's going to burn up or destroy America as the old new world order. He's going to burn it up and destroy it. And then he's going to resurrect the old world order into the new world order. He's going to resurrect the old Atlantis into the new Atlantis. That's why it's a global reset. They're going to burn up, crash, and destroy the old one world economic, the old economic system, the old cashless society, and they're going to do a great reboot. I need to clarify that. They're going to get rid of cash under the old order, and they're going to bring in a cashless society, a nanochip, a DNA chip implant. They're going to bring that in the new world order. And America as Atlantis, a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world economic system that utilizes with DNA functioning as currency. And DNA will be used to change the identity of the human race into two different categories. And here's what the categories are. On one half of the human race will no longer have the God-given DNA they were created with. Okay? The other half of the human race will have the God-given DNA that they were created with. Now, all the people who don't have the God-given DNA that they were created with, they are going to be called synths, S-Y-N-T-H-S, as in synthetic. So all the people with the new artificial DNA will be called synths or synthetics. And both synths and synthetics stand for that large group of people that will have artificial non-human DNA, or synths or synthetic DNA. Then all the people that have authentic God-given DNA, they will have the DNA of God. So the human race is going to be, you know, I don't know what the percentages are, but roughly the human race is going to be split down the middle. Now, this should concern you because they're talking about this openly. This is no longer hidden. In fact, it's been published out in the open. And here is the concern that you should have. When you read the documentation on the synths and the synthetics, on those that have artificial DNA and those that have the God-given, God-created DNA, it should come to your mind immediately that these two sectors of humanity essentially represent the two sectors of humanity that will be alive when the Antichrist comes to power and who will be alive when the false prophet comes to power. So we all remember what the book of Revelation teaches us regarding this. In the book of Revelation, every man and woman alive is given an opportunity to become one with the beast system, and given the opportunity to be able to buy and sell if they receive a microchip or nanochip implant or a DNA chip implant, they'll be able to buy or sell on a wireless basis. But in order to buy or sell and receive the DNA chip implant, a person has to publicly reject Jesus Christ as Lord, and then they have to publicly proclaim that they worship the Antichrist as God. Now, based on that decision, that essentially splits mankind into two categories. Those people who, out of their own choice, now have synthetic DNA, the synths, those with synthetic or non-human DNA, and roughly the other half of the population that did not receive the mark of the beast, they will still retain their God-created DNA. And this is a very, very heavy decision, because on one hand, if you get the synthetic DNA, you'll be able to plug yourself in to the virtual reality world of the hive mind. And on the other hand, if you choose to reject the offer of the Antichrist and the false prophet, you're going to have the God-created DNA, and you will not be allowed to participate in buying or selling and be plugged into the hive mind, et cetera, et cetera. What's happening now with the vaccination? What's happening now with the rebooting of your DNA code from non-human to human, or human to non-human? What is happening now in all of these areas with the Great Reboot? You're just tiptoeing on the very edges of a lake that leads to the lake of fire. You understand that? We are that far along in Bible prophecy. The days of postponing our belief as to when the Lord will return, the days of conducting an analysis based on a short period of time, they're over and done with. We are moving at high speed into the latter part of the last days. The super signs of Israel, the droughts, the changes in the genetic configuration, just like what happened in Genesis 6 between the Nephilim and Rephaim, interbreeding with human women and creating a hybrid species of DNA that is essentially non-human. All of this stuff is happening very, very fast. Now, at the same time, this is an echo to a large degree of what happened to America during the First Great Awakening, what happened to America when the Rosicrucians, the Illuminati, infiltrated it with Sir Francis Bacon, Sir John Dee, when they received their marching orders and battle plans from the Enochian angels that told the British Empire that the British Empire needed to invade, infiltrate, capture, and conquer America, the New World. And back at America's beginnings, the reason we have all the freedoms we have now, even though they're all under attack, they're under attack because the people really ruling our world are the Luciferians, which is what Sir Francis Bacon, Sir John Dee, they were Luciferians. So we're under attack from all quarters. Now, the critical question is, at that time in history, the Church of Jesus Christ in America was strong. It was anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It understood the Word of God. It had a biblical worldview, and it walked in an authentic and biblical revival. It walked under an authentic and biblical revival, which shook the nations and exported the truth of the gospel to every nation on planet Earth. Now, God set that entire thing up because God had a plan for the far-off, distant future. Well, guess what? That far-off, distant future is in our hands right now. It's no longer in the future. God has placed it in our hands right now. And we are the only nation left on planet Earth that still retains, on a percentage basis, enough of the freedoms, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom from unreasonable search and seizure, freedom of religion, and on and on and on. America is the only nation on Earth that still has an enormous amount of freedoms in it. God planned it that way because it has been God's intention ever since the Pilgrims and Puritans came to America. America was destined by God to be a city on a hill, a light on a hill, a light to the nations. America, from the beginning, has been given a prophetic purpose by God to be a light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the nations. We are, and by the way, the Pilgrims and Puritans all believed that the second coming of Jesus Christ was coming very, very soon, and they wanted to make sure they were diligent and obedient and fulfilling the call of God for their lives. Now, here we are in the future, and America, the forces of evil have surrounded America. The demonic armies have surrounded America from without, and the demonic armies have surrounded America from within. And we are in the greatest spiritual war in the history of mankind. And we have still a call upon us to preach the gospel to all nations, to bring in a last day's soul harvest, to make disciples of all nations. And then God's plan for Christians in America, as well as other nations, God is calling you and God is calling me now. Hear the voice of the Lord. God is calling you now to rise in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's only when you begin to rise in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith that you will receive the power from on high that you so much desire. So let me exhort you as your brother in Christ. The Lord God Almighty is speaking to you, and he's saying, rise in the power of the Holy Spirit, with the promise that as you rise, the Lord is saying to you, I will clothe you with power from on high. I will explode the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit in and through your life, and I will use you to bring in the last day's soul harvest, and I will use you as one among many to be part of my mighty end time spiritual army just before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is returning extremely soon. The second coming of Jesus Christ is at hand. I know people have said that before, but now the clock is ticking. The second coming of Jesus Christ is at hand. The Lord is repeatedly calling to every true believer in Jesus Christ. He's saying this, rise. I'm commanding you to rise in the power of the Holy Spirit and to be clothed with power from on high. As you rise, I will pour out my Spirit upon you, and I will supernaturally enable you to do things that you could never have done on your own strength. So let us remind ourselves that we're here for a reason, and that reason is to rise in the power of the Holy Spirit and to rise with boldness. Now for the matters at hand. The matter at hand is we're in the mightiest spiritual battle since the history of the world. But if every believer in Jesus Christ would rise as God commands us to, and use the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If we are to obey God in those areas and pick up the sword of the Spirit and pick up the full armor of God, it is the command of God to each one of us, have no fear, saith the Lord. So you get rid of fear. You determine in your heart and mind, always, always using wisdom, and you charge directly at the enemy, totally without fear and totally with wisdom, totally with wisdom, no presumption. You charge directly into the fortifications of the enemy, holding up the sword of the Spirit. And as the enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ see the supernatural body of Christ filled with power from on high, their knees will literally buckle and tremble in fear as they see God's army rise as a mighty force in the earth. And you will live to see the echo of King David's words when King David looked directly into the eyes of the Nephilim giant Goliath, and he said these words, how dare you defy the armies of the living God? And the next thing you knew, David cut off the head of Goliath, picked up Goliath's head, and the entire Syrian army fled for their lives. They ran in terror, and the armies of Israel, the armies of God, had victory. So what's happening now is God is demanding and commanding of his people that you relinquish your fear, that you let go of your fear, that you rise in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you seek his face with all your might and seek him for his counsel and wisdom. And then you obey him, no matter what he tells you to do. You obey him, but you obey him without fear. And when the enemy hears the thundering of the armies of God and the horses in the armies of God, when the enemy hears the thundering of the armies of God in the distance, the enemy will go into a total meltdown, freak out, and panic. Total fear will grip the enemies of God. They will become pale in their faces. They will drop from dehydration and being overwhelmed by their emotions. And they will tread upon, and they will fall into and fall over and over again. They will fall into a cycle of their own panic and destruction. That's today's program. So let's carry it forward. Now, let's carry it forward. And that means I need your help. It's not a game. This is not a game. Wake up. It's not a game. I need your help. I need you to stand with me in intercessory prayer for me, my household, this ministry, and my family. I need you to stand with me in your finances and your contributions and your donations. And I need you to stand with me in spreading our messages far and wide. Together, we will take the land. It's that simple. It's not complicated. Together, we will take the land. But you can't allow the illusion of fear to dominate you. Fear is a liar. It's a weapon of the liar, Satan. So don't allow fear to make any encroachments in your mind, body, and spirit. God has given you authority over fear. God has said to you personally, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.